Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
How you doing, John?
Well, I'm doing great. It's like 80 degrees. The sun's out. Nice breeze.
Are you trying to pick a fight?
Watch that. I'll go to shit in like just a few hours.
Are you trying to pick a fight with the people that are iced in?
Yes.
Yeah, fortunately, my part of South Carolina is going to avoid all that. So I feel pretty good. There's a text message group of all the people that live up north and my family and me. And it's been nothing today but like reports of ice and snow and like my sister can't leave work and like all this shit that's going on. And so I feel kind of fortunate. I don't talk a lot during those because I don't want to be like, haha, I'm not going to be frozen over because I think that's just shitty. But, you know, I feel bad for all those people.
Yeah, I'm just glad I'm not like up in Duluth where it's supposed to be minus 40 degrees tomorrow.
Yeah. Did you see the videos of like trees exploding?
Mm-hmm.
That's fucked up.
Yeah.
I guess from what I understand, I saw like a scientific breakdown on, I think it was like Instagram or something, where they were basically saying that like the inner core of the tree is warm and the outside air is cooling so fast that the warm and the cold create friction and it just makes the tree like blow apart. And if you look at certain videos, there's like flames or sparks or something that comes out of the tree because of the insane friction of the heat and the cold. Like, it's just crazy. And I guess, you know, with like, whether you believe in global warming or not, this shit's just going to keep going. And then,
right,
you know, then it's like trees are just going to be exploding everywhere. But yeah, it's a weird fucking time to be alive, isn't it? This was not the future that I was promised. I just want to say. It's less Star Trek and it's more dystopian future than I would like. Although
but we had warnings.
Oh, yeah.
It's so bizarre.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, every sci-fi movie in the last 5 decades has shown us what we're doing to this world. And, you know, we're just not really doing shit.
I think people were waiting for the zombie apocalypse instead of like trying to help. Figured, you know, we'd all be eating each other's brains at some point. So why bother?
No.
No, you don't want to eat people's brains?
No, because there's a lot of stupid people and I don't want to eat stupid people's brains.
Tastes like burning.
Yeah.
So what have you been watching this week?
So I watched High Potential.
Yeah.
I really like what they're doing to her character.
Well, I like the fact that she's not getting away with some of the shit that she used to.
They're like, trying to rein her in so that she's not going to be getting in trouble.
Yeah, and this week they sent her to detective school, which really didn't work because they kept involving her in the case.
Right.
You know, as like a, she's too important. And then they like blackmail the guy for her to keep her job, which I thought was a little weird, but you know, whatever.
Well, and it's like, she's a consultant. Why did they send her to police detective school?
Yeah.
Is that something that would happen in the real world?
I don't think, not like a detective school. I think it would have been more like regulations and like crime scene procedure.
But still, she's technically a civilian.
Yeah, but if she's going to go to crime scenes, I'm assuming that they're going to want some kind of like protocols for that.
No, you know, I don't think anybody sent Jessica Fletcher to fucking detective school.
That's true. I can't remember whether or not they did anything
in Castle. Or, yeah. You know?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not your typical police procedural.
Right.
But I do like that, like, they are addressing some of that.
Mm-hmm.
Although I did really enjoy the when she asked Karadek for his phone and he's like, no, because last time you changed my ringtone, the baby got back. She was like, oh, come on, I don't have time for that. And then she does it again. I enjoyed that. That's the shit that makes me laugh.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's so well done. It's so well written.
I mean, I wonder, too, if... Because this is a remake of a French show, right?
Right.
I wonder how different the French show was as far as, like, do the French police require a consultant to be, like, detective trained? Like, I wonder how much they're changing the scripts in order to fit it to this premise.
Mm-hmm.
Or if there are holdovers from the French scripts. I don't know. I'm not going to seek out the French show, so.
No.
No.
Watch it with typos? With subtitles. Or with
typos?
Subtitles? Typos? Well, maybe. Apparently there are 6 versions of this TV show around the world.
Oh. Okay. So it's very original is what you're saying.
Yes. So there's the French version.
Yeah.
That supposedly is edgier.
Oh.
There's the Slovakian version.
Oh. Okay.
In that one, she has 3 daughters.
Oh, okay.
There's one in the Czech Republic.
Okay.
Where she only has 1 kid. And she also has a bit of a criminal record.
I mean, I kind of feel like she does in this show, too. Like, even if they haven't said it, I'm sure there's going to be a thing about her having, like, been arrested at one point or something.
Yeah. In Greece, it's called IQ 160.
Oh, okay.
And her character's name is Penelope.
Okay.
There's one in Hungary. And then there's the U.S. version.
Okay.
And is that's kind of interesting.
The U.S. version, the newest one?
Yes. Well, the one in Hungary also started in 2024.
Okay. So it's a proven commodity, I guess.
I guess.
Did you watch the finale of Percy Jackson?
Oh, that was the finale?
Yes.
It was?
The fight at the camp?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the tree doing something?
Tree comes back to life?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was like the episode before the finale.
No, that's the finale. They've already shot season 3, and that's supposed to be coming before the end of the year.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, and so my kid...
Yeah, I really liked this episode.
My kid has read the books and has said that in the books, the second book ends with the girl coming back to life from the tree, and like they put the golden fleece on the tree turns into the girl, and the book ends. So all of the stuff that you saw after that is like the beginning of book 3-ish.
Okay.
So, which I think is a good move, because I don't think you could have just ended it with her coming back to life and like black.
Not that much of a cliffhanger.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I like all the characters that have been introduced. I like that we got to know more about Luke and why he's on the side of the Titans. And I even thought the battle was pretty well done. They don't have a huge budget, but like they did it enough to where it felt like there was actual stakes to it. So, even like to the point where like beating the shit out of Percy on the ground, and right. like that's a tad more violent than I thought they'd get for like a kid show. So I was like, all right, cool. Yeah. So there's no real major deaths. They recast Zeus, since what's his name passed away. The guy that was originally Zeus. So, I mean, they seem to be in stride, which I guess, they're trying to fight the Stranger Things thing of like the kids growing too fast, which is why they shot season 3, like almost immediately. I asked my kid how old Percy's supposed to be in the books at this point, and she was like, he's supposed to be like 16. And I was like, he does not look 16. and even worse, Tyson, his brother, who is the Cyclops, is supposed to be younger than Percy and have the mental acuity of like an 8-year-old. And I was like, well, first of all, I understand why Disney changed that. But the actor who plays Tyson looks like he's in his mid-20s. So...
Yes.
It's hard for me to be like, oh, they're teenagers. But yeah. I definitely think it's a good, it's been a decent show. It seems like they're faithful to the books and stuff. So. Yeah, so Tyson, the actor who plays Tyson, was born in 1996. So he's what, 30?
Oh, wow. Okay.
And the kid who plays Percy Jackson was born in 2009. So he's what, 17? Yeah. So he just turned 17. Okay. I mean, he looks a lot older than 17. Okay. His growth spurt in the second season really made him look older, but okay. I guess he is kind of age appropriate then.
Yeah. I did like that the mom wanted to tag along on the quest.
Yeah. And then they were like, no.
Yeah, exactly. That would have been the perfect opportunity to throw in a, what do you think this is? Stranger Things joke?
That's funny.
Did you watch the latest Fallout?
Yes.
I like it. I like where it's going. I like that there's a lot of flashback to leading up to the bombs being dropped.
Yeah, I feel like for a very limited series of episodes, it's an extremely slow burn. Like, they're on episode 6, there's 2 more for the season, and we're just getting people together.
Yeah.
And there needs to be payoffs for a lot of the stuff that's going on, like the inbred club that they keep going back to in Vault 33. Mm-hmm. I don't want them to be doing that just because they want to include those characters in the show. That shit needs to have some serious repercussions if there's taking time away from the main plots.
Right.
To deal with that. I'd much rather them go more into why Lucy's dad is controlling people in the Vault Tech building and what he's trying to accomplish. Mm-hmm. Rather than, what else is going on. I at this point, I don't care about the inbred club. That just, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I liked that, for as little as I know about the games, in Fallout, there has been mutants and there's aliens at one point and certain things in the games that you have to confront and stuff. But one of the through lines is, since Fallout 1, the voiceover that starts the game has been Ron Perlman. And mm-hmm. this week, Ron Perlman actually shows up as a mutant.
Right.
And so
the one who basically saves Cooper.
Yeah. So they are tying the video game stuff into the show, which I appreciate. It's the same thing that I like about Lucasfilm when they took the voice actors from a lot of the shows and just ported them over to live action as the actual character. If you're close enough.
Katie Sackhoff.
Yeah. Like Katie Sackhoff or, the guy that plays Clancy Brown was in Rebels as the governor, and in Ahsoka he shows up as the governor. I always appreciate that shit with Dave Filoni and stuff. So I'm glad that Fallout is following along with that. But it feels like with only two episodes left, they have a lot to move in terms of set pieces in order to make the season feel like it was all building to something.
Right.
So I don't know. Cause you just got, Maximus hooking back up with the ghoul. So
mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that there's actual a payoff to that story.
Right. What do you think about the other character reveal this week in the elevator?
What was the character reveal in the elevator?
Oh, Benjamin Linus showed up.
Oh, that. Yeah. I mean, he's in season 1. He gets his head cut off in season 1.
Yeah.
But the fact that 200 years later, all of the same people that helped destroy the world are now awake again. Mm-hmm. Seems like the world is just doomed on repeat, especially this version of the world.
Right.
Because Lucy's brother has waken up all those Vault-Tec people and mm-hmm. they're now back in the Vault-Tec offices. And it's this isn't good. These are the people that destroyed the world. And we're going to see the guy in Vegas that helped destroy the world but saved Vegas, and all of these people are still around, and that doesn't seem like it's going to be good for the people that are alive.
Kind of a cautionary tale, I'd say.
Well, yeah, especially right now.
Do you think the uranium that the mutant shoves into the ghoul's stomach is why the ghouls were created in the first place? That it has something to do with their creation?
I don't know.
They were within like a certain distance to an actual blast?
I don't know, because technically, you know, Cooper's kid is with him when the bombs drop.
Right.
And she makes it to a vault. So I don't know how. Well, I mean, according to the internet, the ghouls in the Fallout universe are humans mutated by extreme long-term radiation exposure, resulting in decayed zombie-like appearance, significantly extended lifespans, and immunity to radiation.
Okay.
While many retain their intelligence, others become feral, mindless, aggressive creatures. My guess to answer your question is that I don't know what's in the vials that he takes to heal himself. But I'm guessing like extreme radiation exposure, because that's how they were formed, probably is helpful to his healing.
That would make sense.
Oh, so the yellow serum is to maintain his sanity and not go feral.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
I thought the whole scene with the mind control drones in the office was really interesting when they revealed that they were all like really shitty human beings.
Yeah, and it like turns them nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, maybe that's the answer. Maybe it's all about mind control.
Maybe. We got 2 episodes to find out more about the Enclave.
Yeah, and that's why
I think it's going to end with a cliffhanger where they find them, but they don't reveal who everybody is.
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming that there's going to be a season 3.
Cooper's wife has got to be there somewhere, right?
Well, she's in one of the vaults. There's that shot of when Lucy's dad is driving past, and it shows Barb and the kid's name. So they're alive, just in stasis in the main Vault Tech underground facility. But I mean, being that she is very responsible for the end of the world, and that's
right.
I gotta imagine that's why Cooper doesn't want her released, or like he knows where they are. So maybe that's good enough, is because she is you know, directly responsible for it all, that he's watched for the last 200 years.
Right.
I mean, according to Wikipedia, the original Fallout takes place in post-apocalyptic Southern California beginning in the year 2161.
Okay.
So I guess the 1960s, 50s and 60s aesthetic was just the way that society evolved.
Okay.
Like they never got past that, because because they're always like, I don't think they've ever said a year except for the time that they talked about Cooper's kid's birthday.
Right.
And I just like, I don't know. I always just assume that, like, you know, instead of the Cuban Missile Crisis being called off, like, they just made sure that that shit happened. But this is like 100 years in the future.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, and it's weird to think, like, Cooper's a Western star and, like, the Westerns would make a weird comeback. Like, in the future, I guess? I don't know.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff they gotta reveal soon.
Did you watch this week's Star Trek Academy?
Yes.
What do you, how are you feeling about it?
I really like Holly Hunter's character now.
Yeah.
And I thought this was a good episode. It was very kid-centric.
Yeah.
But I thought it was pretty well done.
So a lot of it takes place around, because they're basically like a academy / college type thing. There would be sports teams, and I feel like this is the episode where the crew, the main cast starts to really gel together, and they have to work together to beat their common foe. And I feel like, this is how that they were going to do it, so that when the shit hits the fan, when they take the Athena back into space and they come up against Paul Giamatti again, like, they're more cohesive unit and more Star Trek than they have been.
Right.
You know, it's I still don't know any of the names yet. So, the main dude, you know, he's still kind of the outsider. He's not sure whether or not he still needs to be there, but, like, they're going to force him to play this game. And look, he's now part of the group and he's starting to gel with, like, his roommates and,
right.
You know, they're already giving character arcs to a lot of those new characters. So I kind of feel like at some point we're going off of Earth to kind of deal with something out in space that's going to test them as cadets.
Sure.
So, but I thought it was a really good way to kind of show them building like camaraderie amongst a bunch of really different types of people.
And starting to kind of establish a hierarchy.
Yeah.
You know, who the leader is, and it's not who wants to be the leader.
Yeah, it's not the asshole.
It ends up being somebody totally different.
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I really like this show. I know it's rubbed a lot of people the wrong way politically, because
it's only 3 episodes. I know, give it a chance.
But they were bitching about episode 1 where Holly Hunter has glasses, and it's like, oh, there wouldn't be glasses in the future. And it's like, well, first of all, you've never watched Star Trek then, because Captain Kirk had glasses in Star Trek 2. And, you know, they're bitching about, like, there's fat people and all of this shit. And it's like, have you not watched Star Trek? Like, right. Star Trek has been pushing the political envelope since 1966. Like, it's been 60 years of them being quote unquote woke. So I don't know why everybody's all shocked and shaken now. So it's very weird. I mean, yeah, it's just fucked up. But I like it. I think it's not typical Star Trek, but it's Star Trek nonetheless. So.
Sure.
And I really like the
fact. I like now that they've.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Nope.
Nope. Go ahead.
Nope. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I really like the fact that now they've revealed that Tig Notaro and the number one are in a relationship.
I was just going to say that. That's what I was going to say.
Wow. Yeah. Great minds.
So I'm not sure. There was a lot of speculation that this was taking place during one of the Discovery seasons, but now it seems like it's not, because Tig Notaro was in all of Discovery seasons, I think starting in season two. Like, there was never, while she wasn't in every episode, it wasn't like she never came back to do episodes. So now she's involved with the Jem'Hadar / Klingon first officer. And she talks about leaving a ship on the edge of creation in order to be with her. So I've got to feel like this is after the last episode of Discovery has taken place. Not the coda where, like, it's in the future and Michael Burnham is taking the ship into wherever so it can be found later on. This is like right after the last episode kind of ends. So I don't know. But I love Tig Notaro. I think she's great. I think she's great in this show. I think, like, her brand of humor fits this to a T.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this is a good vehicle for her.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's just enough, like, old Star Trek stuff, like, in the first couple episodes with the Doctor and, you know, Tig Notaro, where like they've been on more established like Star Trek shows, and now we're going to do this for like the younger crowd, and they're going to like kind of guide everybody. But, you know, Discovery had a brand of humor that sometimes didn't really fit. And they struggled between like Tig Notaro that was trying to be humorous and, you know, Michael Burnham, who was, she needed to discuss her feelings every 5 minutes while they were getting shot at. And I feel like this is a better blend of the humor and the action and like the storytelling. So yeah, I'm all on board for this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if it's 90210 in space.
But they all played laser tag. Yay. Welcome to the 90s.
There was that great, that great scene where, I gotta learn the names of the characters. Oh my God, what is her name? The hologram student, Sam. Where Sam is like, oh, this is going to be like laser tag? And Tig Notaro goes, kinda. And then it cuts to like their holodeck. And they're all being like fired at. And she's screaming her head off. Like that's classic humor. And that's classic Star Trek. And I'm on board for it. I loved it. I thought it was great. So we had a bunch of trailers drop this week.
We did.
What did you think of the Muppets trailer?
I've got high hopes.
Yeah, you think that Seth Rogen might be the guy to bring this back?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, we haven't seen much yet, so it's kind of hard to say, oh, it's going to be great. He's perfect. He's going to rescue this. But the feel is there. And it wasn't that awkward feel of like one of the many reboots, like the last one where, you know, Kermit and Piggy had broken up, and that was like just weird.
Yeah.
So I got high hopes for it. I hope it.
I mean, it definitely, you know, feels like
knocks it out of the park.
The pitch was, we just want to do the Muppet Show from,
yeah,
like the '70s and the '80s. Like that's the goal. Like that brand of humor, we're going to like what you see there is what we're going to do. I wasn't a huge fan of the Jason Segel movies.
No,
I felt it. It felt kind of like the Muppets, but it felt like a fan film of the Muppets. You know, I didn't like Walter. I still don't like Walter. I didn't like,
it felt like corporate placement.
Kind of. Yeah.
Somebody said, hey, you need a new character that we can market.
Yeah. And he's going to turn into Jim Parsons because the Big Bang Theory is really popular right now. Like,
right.
Yeah. I mean, I think they tried. I think all of the stuff is tried, but I think you're right. I think this feels like the Muppets. I feel like the Electric Mayhem show felt like the Muppets.
It was close.
Yeah.
I think what worked with the Muppets is that there was all this weirdness happening in between the story arc.
Yeah.
That, you know, you could cut to, you know, Wayne and Wanda doing a song and that going totally wrong, or, you know, Gonzo doing a stunt, or New Zealand and his flying fish, and then go back to whatever, you know, they were trying to accomplish in that episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, more variety. I mean, if they do it right. Exactly. It's a variety show.
Yeah. And it needs to feel like a variety show.
Right. Right. And I think that's what was wrong with like the last couple of incarnations of it. It's like, no, you're losing what made it, you know, so much fun in the beginning.
Yeah.
And now you're like trying to force, oh, we're trying to make it hip. We're trying to have, you know, Kermit's dating and, you know, Gonzo's got roommates. It's like, yeah, no.
Yeah, it needs to be like SNL Muppets.
Yes, exactly. Which, strangely enough, SNL was one of the places Muppets first appeared in.
Oh, there you go.
So there you have it.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I like it. I seem to like the humor in it. Being that it's going to be on ABC and then Disney Plus, the kink joke that is told in it, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, that didn't feel very Muppets, but maybe, you know, they're trying to give it a little edge. I don't know.
Yeah.
But maybe that's like the influence of Seth Rogen of like, you know, we're going to do this, but we're going to give it a little bit of kick to it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Well, and you know, you see how far you can push it.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's no, like, even in the trailer, like Kermit, when Kermit's introducing it, he basically is like, maybe we'll get to do more of these depending on how this goes, is like the perfect,
right?
Like, if you never see this again, you know it didn't go well.
Yeah.
I don't know. I hope the country's ready for a little levity. And that
God
way.
Knows we need it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Did you
see the trailer for... okay.
Go ahead.
For the new Darth Maul?
Yes.
Series?
Yes.
Oh, my God. That looks awesome.
Yeah, they're one of the things that I really like about Filoni is that he has kept Sam Witwer very involved in the Darth Maul stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And this looks like a fanboy's dream of like, what story could we tell with Darth Maul? and you know, them just knock this shit out of the park. That I'm not crazy about the release schedule, that it's two episodes every week. Like,
yeah,
I feel like it could breathe, but they're trying to get to May 4th, I guess. And have it end on May 4th, which is fine. But they're bringing back Merrick from Ahsoka, who is the first brother of the Inquisitors.
And then
they're bringing back the guy that's got like the bird mask from the animated Tales of the Jedi. Who is like 11th brother. Because he gets killed by Ahsoka in Tales of the Jedi, and everybody was like, oh my God, I wish we had more of him. And I think Filoni was like, all right, we can give you more.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, I'm super stoked. Like, they do very well with their animation. It's very reminiscent of, like, I can't tell if this is the Clone Wars look or if it's more in line with like the Rebels look, or they're trying to do something completely different.
It's neither.
Is it? It's
it. It's, the characters seem to have a lot more like brush strokes, like more detail to them. They're not as like flat or rotoscoped.
Okay.
I mean, because I always thought that Rebels and Clone Wars, they looked like action figures.
Yeah.
They were very blocky.
Yeah, and you know, my daughter and I recently rewatched all of Rebels, and it's funny how that show starts out as, I want to say, like, one of the first episodes is Ezra trying to find fruit for Hera. Like, that's the gist of the episode, and how it's kind of lighthearted and happening in the Star Wars universe. And, oh, look, there's stormtroopers. And by the end, there's like, there's this big bad guy that they're trying to get rid of on a Star Destroyer, and the stakes are super high. And like, watching that progression, that has led to all of the current Star Wars stuff, like Maul and like, you know, all of the other stuff that they've done recently. They've just kind of turned that, it's still for kids, but like, your parents are going to love this too. And, you know, they've done a lot with Maul over Clone Wars and Rebels. And now this, I don't know whether or not this is the final hurrah for Maul or not, because we've seen where he ends, and we've seen like his first appearance. So like, I don't know. I'm hoping that we get more Maul at some point, but I'm also hoping, like, if this is his final hurrah, that he goes out in a blaze of glory. So, yeah.
Did you watch the Masters of the Universe one?
I did.
It feels very much like a Marvel movie.
It does. I think,
and I don't think that's bad.
I think there's definitely a formula that everybody's following now. Like the, oh, look how popular Marvel was formula.
Right.
And while I have serious issues with why can't the whole thing just be on Eternia, like, like, why does he have to be on Earth? Why does he have to, like, I mean, he clearly remembers Eternia. So like, but why couldn't he just be in hiding on Eternia? There are questions of that make me scratch my head. But I also kind of think it looks pretty good. Like,
it does.
I feel like of all of the, okay, I know a lot of people are upset on the internet because he's not as muscular as Dolph Lundgren was in the 1980s one, whatever, fine. He didn't bulk up. Mm-hmm. Okay, fine. But I think, even though it's Jared Leto, I think Skeletor looks really cool. I think all of Skeletor's henchmen that we've seen looks really cool. Idris Elba as Man at Arms looks good. Like, it looks more like a live action version of the cartoon than the 1980s one did.
Right.
I'm just, you know, I just wish that it just could have all been on Eternia.
Mm-hmm.
And there better be a scene where he rides Battle Cat. I want Cringer there being like, don't know. I don't want to do it. And him point the sword at him and he become Battle Cat, jump on the back of Battle Cat and ride in the battle. That's all I want out of this movie.
All right.
And I'm really hoping that it's not the last 20 minutes of this movie happens on Eternia.
Yeah.
It better be the first. It's like he's only on Earth for like 20 minutes. And then, you know, he finds a sword. Let's go. There are also a ton of people that are pissed off at this trailer, too. I don't know if you saw all that.
Of course they are.
Because there's a joke where they show his nameplate and it's got pronouns under it of he, him. And all of these people are pissed off. Like, what are they doing? They woke fucking He-Man. And it's like, what's the first word in the title of the film? He. Like, it's a play on the fact that he's called He-Man. Like, just because it says he, him, doesn't mean that they're trying to use pronouns. It's a play off the title of the fucking film, or what they call him. Like, people are so dumb.
Yeah, they are.
But, I mean, I kind of have high hopes for this. Maybe more than I should. Yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, I would like a cool Masters of the Universe film.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I've been disappointed before. But I mean, also like visual effects wise, I mean, they've nailed everything that I thought that everything should look like Castle Grayskull and
right. Mm-hmm.
Like, it looks cool. I don't know.
We'll have to wait and see.
I mean, and I appreciate...
Are there any other trailers I missed?
I don't think so. I mean, I do appreciate, too, though, like, the... When he comes to Eternia, he's basically... He's got a pink shirt on and, like, a white undershirt. And in the TV show, in the cartoon, that's how he dresses Prince Adam.
Right.
Like, I like the fact that they are that attention to detail for this. That they were like, how can we make this look kind of like, you know, like we're going to give Man at Arms the stupid helmet and like the body armor and stuff. And I don't know. I just think it looks like they've really thought about a lot of it instead of just a cash grab.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't think there were any other trailers. Not unless you're really interested in like the Mario Brothers movie.
Yeah, no.
Because they just showed what Yoshi's going to look like.
Is he going to look like a little dinosaur?
Pretty much. He's going to look exactly like he does in the video.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Nailed it.
Yeah. Because they didn't nail it in the live action one with Bob Hoskins, but nothing in that movie looked like nothing. It looked nothing like the Mario movies or the video games.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Yeah, I don't think. Uh-oh. And then we lost connection. All right, we're going to call him back. Hang on. Let's try that again.
Where'd you go?
I don't know. Technology. All of a sudden, it just said that the call was trying to be reconnected.
Well, it's weird because I heard you say, all right, we're going to call him back. And then you called me back.
Oh, okay. That was weird.
Very bizarre. Very bizarre.
Because I figured I'd leave that all in, you know, to show what trying to do this show is really like.
Yeah, exactly.
When technology breaks down.
Did you watch anything else?
No.
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 I watched a really horrible movie.
Oh, God. Which one?
The Outlaws.
The Outlaws.
Stars Pierce Brosnan and Alan Barkin, which I thought would be good, but it's really an Adam Devine movie.
Okay.
And, yeah, it's okay. I mean, Pierce Brosnan and Alan Barkin are really good in this, but Adam Devine is just kind of, you know, acting like he always acts.
Okay.
In fact, one of the other guys from, what was his TV show? Workers or something?
Maybe.
Anyway, one of those other guys plays his cousin in this. But basically, he's about to get married, and his fiance hasn't seen her parents in quite a few years, and they end up showing up, and it turns out that they're actually bank robbers, and Adam Devine is a bank manager.
Okay.
And Michael Rooker plays the agent who's trying to trap the parents, and it could have been so much better. It was produced by Adam Sandler.
Oh.
Yeah. I had high hopes for it. It wasn't that good. I thought it was going to be more along the lines of like Red.
Yeah.
Or what's the other one they did with all the action stars? The Replacements?
Oh, no. The Expendables.
Expendables, that was it. Yeah. But it wasn't. It was kind of like, don't bother.
Yeah, Pierce Brosnan has had a really wild career recently. Mm-hmm. Like, he seems to do any script that they put in front of him now.
Yeah. I think that started with Mamma Mia.
Yeah, probably.
Let's see how much money I can make.
Look, I'm never going to do 007 again, so I might as well make as much money as I can.
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, he winds up in like Black Adam as Dr. Fate at one point.
Mm-hmm.
He's in this weird, I don't know if you saw Black Bag, the movie last year.
No.
That's actually really good. Black Bag's Black. Yeah, that's a really good one. But he does this, does this show on, I think it's Peacock, Paramount Plus, called Mobland with Tom Hardy and Helen Mirren.
Oh, okay.
Where he's this, like, I don't know if he's supposed to be Irish or,
yes,
or Scottish, but he's doing this terrible accent. Both him and Helen Mirren. And then, like, then they're back together in the Thursday Murder Club.
That's, yes, on Netflix? I like that one.
What, was that any good?
It was all right.
Okay.
It was like old people doing Knives Out.
But I don't know. Like, it's really weird, like, his career trajectory, if I could say that word.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like he's just like, yeah, whatever.
Started at Remington Steel.
Well, yeah. So, yeah. Are you going to watch the Marvel TV show Wonder Man? Is that what it's called?
So, well, yeah. No, I will.
Yeah. I'm cautiously optimistic. I know there hasn't been a whole lot of like marketing around it. Like it seems like it's very hush hush about it, but like it seems like, from what I understand, like the characters play a huge role in like Marvel stories in the comic books.
Right.
So I want this to be really good just so that like people are like, holy shit, like Marvel had a plan with this, and like this connects all kinds of shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I've heard that like if you're like a huge diehard Marvel fan, you can like skip it.
Yeah.
But everybody else should watch it.
Okay.
Ben Kingsley is back in it as the actor who played the Mandarin.
Yeah. Yep.
It's like, well, that's kind of cool. I'm, you know, coming back to like a, you know, almost throwaway character.
Yeah. I mean, he's always been up for like, I feel like, you know, you hear Ben Kingsley and you think of like Gandhi and like this dramatic actor, and once like he started doing Marvel stuff, he always came back. Like there, when Marvel was doing those one shots where they would tell like a small story in between movies and stuff, he came back for one about his character not being the real Mandarin, and it happens like in right. prison, and it's, I think it's like mm-hmm. All Hail the King or something.
Yeah.
And then he did Shang-Chi, and he's like, now he's doing yep. this. And I just feel like he likes this kind of character enough to where he's like, yeah, man, sure. Right. I'll do it. Whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, and I like Ben Kingsley. He's in one of my favorite movies ever. I'm sure you've seen Sneakers.
Mm-hmm.
I love Sneakers. I think Sneakers is one of the best 80s movies. I think it was 80s. It was either 80s or early 90s.
Yeah.
With Robert Redford, and it was 1992. Sidney Poitier is in it. Dan Aykroyd's in it. River Phoenix is in it. Like it's a really well done movie. I would recommend to anybody yeah. who hasn't seen Sneakers to seek that shit out, because that's a really good film.
Yeah.
That's one of those films that like, if I stumble upon it on TV, no matter where it is, I'll watch it to the end.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And I watched one more thing.
Yeah.
That I think you would really like.
Okay.
So there was a version of Shakespeare's Twelfth Night in Shakespeare in the Park up in New York City year ago, maybe 2 years ago, that was filmed for Great Performances on PBS.
Okay.
It's really good.
Okay.
It's very contemporary. The twins are played by Lupita Nyong'o and her twin brother, Junior.
Oh, okay.
And basically it's about a pair of twins who get separated when pirates attack their ship, and they try to find each other again.
Yeah.
And so the girl ends up dressing as a boy, and she kind of infiltrates this kind of like a baron's entourage. It's got Peter Dinklage, who's freaking hilarious in this.
Oh, nice.
Jesse Tyler Ferguson, Sandra Oh. Yeah, it's really well done. It's very contemporary. I'm not really familiar with the public theater in Central Park, but I mean, they used a bunch of different elevators on the stage. it was just really cool. And it was like, sometimes Shakespeare can be a little overwhelming to people.
Yeah.
And this was like this, it just flowed. They had original music. There was kind of a balladeer character who kept popping up, but they had musicians on stage at different times. Really recommend searching this thing out.
Okay.
And then the finale is kind of like, not the finale, but after the twins are reunited and the girl is revealed to be a girl, and you know, the bows is done as like a fashion show where the cast is, they're not all cross-dressing, but they all have female and male elements in their costumes, and it's like really over the top.
Okay.
And just to see Peter Dinklage dance in knee-high yellow leather boots is hilarious.
Okay.
It's really worth looking at. And I had no idea that Lupita Nyong'o had a twin brother.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
I had to look up the credits and stuff to see who was in it. It was really good. There's like this one scene. So the stage has big cutout letters of it's spelled As You Will, which is kind of a theme of this. Yeah. But at one point, four of the characters come out with the letters that spell tree. And then they go to hide behind the tree, like hiding behind the letters. And then at one point, it's a scene with Peter Dinklage. They're standing behind him, and they kind of like put the letter T on the ground so he can like sit on it.
Mm-hmm.
The staging is really, really clever.
Okay.
Like really worth watching. I think you would like it.
Okay.
So there you have it.
Okay.
What else did I watch? I watched, oh God, I can't remember the name of it. It was that good. Oh, it was The Seven Dials.
Yeah.
Which is like a 3-episode miniseries based on, did we talk about this already?
You told me about it. I actually watched episode 1. I haven't gotten around to the rest of it yet though.
Okay. It just popped up because on the 12th Night IMDb page, there's also a Helena Bonham Carter version of 12th Night.
Okay.
See, it all comes full circle.
All comes full circle.
Thanks for listening.
I guess that's where you want to stop for this week.
Unless you get something else.
No, I don't.
Okay.
All right. Well, if you want to get in touch with us, you can always send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can follow us on Facebook and YouTube and let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
This is John.
Have a good week.
French Klingon fusion, the cuisine I never knew that I needed.